This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. More than half of January has gone by, but it's still not too late to kickstart some good habits for a better you and a better environment. So in a new segment on Earth Matters, Plastic Soup, we are asking whether we are living in a giant bowl of plastic soup, and we're going to explore how we can get out of this goop. So of course, there are larger issues at hand when it comes to the plastic pollution crisis, with the underlying cause of the problem said to be rooted in unsustainable levels of production and consumption. But today, we want to tackle plastic consumption and how to think about reducing our own personal use. And joining me to do that are Zero Waste Malaysia's Kor Soo Yee, she's the co-founder and director, and Jazreel Lim, who is the head of finance and business development. Welcome, ladies. How are you today?
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year to the both of you. I always love, you know, I make sure that every year in January I talk to you guys because I always think, you know, the work that you do is wonderful for people to think about, right, as we're attacking a new year. So just to, you know, remind everyone, we caught up, I think, last in September, am I correct? And you guys were just about to launch the 30-Day Zero Waste Challenge. How did that go?
Oh, wow. It's been a while, right?
Yeah.
So since in October last year, we actually had this 30-Day Zero Waste Challenge where we encourage all of the publics to participate on this challenge to kickstart a zero waste lifestyle and build up a small habit every day throughout the whole October. So we were quite happy that we had about 645 sign-up participants to sign up for this challenges. And I think, yes, I think at the end of the campaign, we are managed to obtain about more than 5,000 of hashtag on the zero waste action posting from all over the community.
Yeah, I think the most important thing that people find out that zero waste, scary as the term seems, like zero waste, it's actually not as scary or not as difficult to start with. Yeah. So we also did like a survey before and after. So like before the survey, perhaps at about 1/3 of participants, yeah, they found out that doing zero waste might not be convenient, no, might be difficult, but at the end of the day, it's only about like 15% or 17%. Yeah. So, and the challenge is really as easy as no tissue day. Yeah. So I think this really break the perspective or the myth about like, it's very hard. It's very inconvenient to do something about the environment. Yeah.
Yeah, baby steps, right? It's all about, you know, breaking it down and finding solutions that work for you. And of course, you know, you guys have been working towards building a waste-free and sustainable future for Malaysia. And correct me if I'm wrong, your mission is also to drive social and systemic change for a sustainable future here in Malaysia. Maybe for those who are unfamiliar, you can talk to me or remind us about Zero Waste Malaysia's pillars.
Yeah, so in short, Zero Waste Malaysia is a non-profit organization that promotes zero waste lifestyle by advocating individual actions. So we do believe that individual actions do make a difference by leading as an example and then also inspire the others around us. So at the same time, we also strive to serve as a resource platform, educational hub for all of the communities to be able to access any kind of zero waste resources in a local context for free and also as widely as possible. That we would like to include is that most of our resources online are available in four main Malaysian languages: Bahasa Tamil, Bahasa Mandarin, Bahasa English, and Bahasa Malaysia.
Okay. All right. And, you know, you mentioned you're a nonprofit, isn't it? But, and I know that, you know, before you guys used to rely on public donations, those sorts of things as well, right? But am I correct that, you know, things are sort of changing and you're going for a new approach now?
Yes. So for this, perhaps Jazreel can carry on later. But yes, since MCO happened, we thought of also it's not a long-term solution for us to rely on public donation because it has been quite challenging for us. And especially when it comes to, we reached to a point that we feel that it's very important for us to prioritize for those public donations to focus more on COVID relief community or even flood relief NGOs. So those who do really need this in priority and also in urgence. So since the MCO happens or the COVID hits, we sort of also divert ourselves from public donations to more on doing more engagement with corporates.
Yeah, so this is also something in trend with what has been talked about like recently, like ESG, you know, having more disclosure, and also like the Paris Agreement, and also all sort of pressure from the top down and all. So we do also notice that company now, they are really looking more on what they can do extra, what they can really help for the environment beyond just like the normal typical CSR. Yep. And also company, they are really looking into climate change topic now. So they are not just looking at the very surface or a very one-off kind of initiative. Yeah. They are looking for like a long-term education within the employee so that the employees is also part of the climate change solution if possible. Yeah, so when we are working with corporates, right, things get a little bit different than our usual fun community, but definitely we are still making it very interactive. Like for example, last year we also, beside the 30-day zero waste challenge that we did with public, we also do a 7-day zero waste challenge with corporate internally. Yeah, so that actually gave employees a very good starter to let them know actually zero waste is the same objective. It's not as hard to start with. And also employees, they get to know more actually doing something about climate change, environment is not as hard. And why is it important for all of us to really do something about it now? But of course, this is something that we will also work closely with the company depending on what kind of initiative they would like to run. So perhaps for some companies, they like to have like zero waste photo contests, or for some company, they like more speaking engagement, or even companies who are more nature driven, they would like to have composting workshops. Yeah, so Zero Waste Malaysia, beside our community group, we do have a team and also passionate volunteers who are expert in this area. And we do work closely with corporate in providing this solution. And the ultimate goal is to bring sustainability to the workplace. Yeah.
That's really good to hear. I mean, I'm so happy that corporates are getting involved and, you know, just going beyond saying like, oh, yes, we're all about sustainability, but not actually taking any action, right? So that's really promising to hear that's happening now. And that's wonderful. I'm really happy for you guys as well. And I mean, of course, it's all for the greater good. So yeah, I mean, everybody needs to work together. And it would be very remiss of me if I don't ask you this, and I ask this every time I speak to you, the foundation of, you know, a zero waste lifestyle and the zero waste movement, those 5 R's, of course, which I think we must constantly remind people about. But yeah, please do that for me now.
So in Zero Waste Malaysia, we do encourage most of the public to follow the 5R principle that presented by B. Johnson, who is the author of Zero Waste Home. So the first R is to refuse what we do not need. So this is to simply to say tak nak single-use plastic straw, or even say tak nak to any kind of like distributed flyers. So before accepting anything, try to think of is this something that you do need at home? If not, try to refuse it from the very first place. Yeah. And then the second R is to reduce what we do need. So this simply is to simplify our consumptions. And also, I think we can definitely, for ladies, we can definitely start with our wardrobe. It can be overwhelming, but I guess it's also something that we should look into it. Yeah, to downsize and to reduce what we do need. And after you downsize, you will definitely feel more contented, as in there's no more worries for you to think of what to wear every morning. And the third is to reuse. So to reuse what we already have. So in zero waste lifestyle, including me, myself, a lot of us might be more, might be confused about, oh, zero waste lifestyle is more or less to have to own a lot of aesthetic mason jars that is beautifully stocked in the cupboards. So for Zero Waste Malaysia, we do encourage all of us to actually reuse what we already have. So this includes, like, if let's say we already have a glass jar at home, try to reuse that. if let's say we have already have a reusable water bottle, try to reuse that. Because in zero waste lifestyle, more or less the essence is to really reuse what we already have instead of buying a new one that made out of a new resources. And the fourth R is actually the recycle. So recycling is part of the solutions, but in a zero waste hierarchy, recycling actually plays at the fourth R. So simply being said that recycling do require a lot of energy. It's an energy intensive process, require human labor to sort, require water to clean all of the recyclables. So it's very important for us to be aware that recycling is part of the system, but what about doing the three steps beforehand to refuse what we do not need, to reduce what we do need, to reuse what we already have before thinking about recycle as the solution. And last but not least would be rot to compost our food waste. So in Malaysia, 50% of our household waste are actually organic waste that potentially can be turned into fertilizer. So if let's say we are able to start composting at home or even try to reduce our food waste generations from, for example, to make a grocery list, a grocery shopping list to avoid over-purchasing. So that could also be part of the reduction of food waste. And slowly, the last is to rot, to compost our food waste.
Okay. All right. I mean, simple practical advice. And yes, I keep asking you to repeat it, but I think it's really important that we, you know, drill that into everybody and keep that at the top of our mind. I mean, my child, who I think must think I'm the worst mother, every time I say, no, we cannot take this, refuse, you know, there's always the first thing. Why do we need this soft toy when we have 20 at home, you know, and she just cannot get it. But slowly she's understanding. She's like, oh yeah, we already have enough, right? So, okay, no more. So, if a six-year-old can get it, I think the rest of us can. Okay, and you know, you spoke about trash as well. And Malaysia, my goodness, in Asia, we produce some of, what was it, the second most largest producer of trash in Asia. Am I correct in saying that? Did I get my stats wrong?
I think we have another stat, but yeah, it's pretty similar as well. Like in Malaysia, we are the, per capita-wise, we are the highest country that produced the most plastic waste, okay, according to WWF report in 2019. Yeah, so they actually did a survey in Southeast Asia on our plastic consumption per person and found out that on average, Malaysian use about 16.78 kg of plastic waste every year. So we produce that amount of waste, which is equals to like a kid's weight. If you think about like how plastic is light and small thing, yep, things like that. So we are definitely not doing well on like these areas.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And that's why, you know, we want to talk about the Trashpedia, but we're just going to go for a quick break. But when we come back, yes, I'm going to ask you more about Trashpedia, which is going to help people, you know, sort out all of that plastic that we're using and also basically, you know, teach us why we should reduce our waste, our plastic use and plastic waste. I'm speaking today to Koh Soo Yee. She's the co-founder and director of Zero Waste Malaysia, and Jazra Lim, who's the head of finance and business development at Zero Waste Malaysia. We're talking about, you know, our uncontrolled use of plastic and how we can reduce that. This is a new segment on Earth Matters called Plastic Soup, where we are trying to see how we can get out of all of this plastic goop that we're in. We'll have more after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today are Koh Soo Yee and Jazra Lim. Soo Yee is the co-founder and director of Zero Waste Malaysia, and Jazra is the head of finance and business development. Today, it's a segment called Plastic Soup on Earth Matters, where we're talking about this unhealthy relationship that we have with plastic, basically, and how can we as a society, you know, stop relying so much on single-use plastic and how we can actually manage the plastic that we do have. So guys, you know, last year, I remember also where we were talking about the 30-day zero waste challenge, you did mention that you were about to launch something called Trashpedia. It has been launched since. Tell me a little bit about that. What is that all about?
So Trash Encyclopedia is all in one web-based platform that is user-friendly on mobile, on iPad, and even on a laptop browser as well. So to document it, the most common household waste that we produce in Malaysia, on what, why, how to deal with them. So basically it's, for example, if let's say I had a bubble tea cup So I'm not sure how to segregate them properly. I will actually go through this trashpedia.zerowastemalaysia.org on my mobile and to check bubble tea cup. Okay, how do I recycle it? So it's actually all of the answers will be found there. And then you are able to know that, okay, so the straw, I have to throw it into the general bin. Okay, so for the cup itself, it's either, if let's say it's squeezable, it means that it can be actually thrown into a plastic bin. But in our trash encyclopedia, we also included the step of proper way to dispose. So first of all, it's very, very important first step is actually to clean and dry. Yeah, because a fun fact for our recycling myth is that most of our waste are not actually recycled because of contaminations.
That's right.
So the essence of this trash encyclopedia is really to get everyone to aware that let's do it the right way. Let's do it in a more proper way to actually clean and dry and to segregate it properly. So, but ultimately in our trash media, we also included what's the way to do it better, which we call it ourselves as like a zero waste alternatives. Mm-hmm. So for bubble tea cup is actually to bring our own to avoid creating that that particular trash from the very first place.
Yeah, it's lovely, you know, and you've covered so many different items, right? I mean, things that have become so ubiquitous in our life today, delivery parcel packaging, for example, and you never know what to do with it, right? And I love the fact that you break it down into components. So you explain it's not just one plastic, there's the paper, there's, you know, different parts of it, the coating is different, and then you explain what to do, where to put it, how to dispose of it, and like you said, how to do it better. Am I correct?
Yes. And the selection of this most common household waste is actually was actually the evaluation from our public survey, because we did blast out a public survey in last year, April, to understand what's the most confusing household trash that the public found. So from that survey, we managed to obtain about more than 7,000 of survey responses across Malaysia. And from that 7,000 responses survey, that's how we come out with this 101 trash. But at the moment, for the beta preview, we only have the first 50 trash. The rest of the 51 trash will be out in April.
Yeah, and also the main objective of this trash is also through our experience, we found out that a lot of Malaysians do not know how to recycle the right way, or there is just no one-stop solution that really teaches everyone on how to recycle and also what can be recycled. So this is also like one of the common questions that we get on the Facebook group. Like people keep asking, can I recycle this? Can I recycle that? You know, but when you recycle, you need to like separate everything, things like that. So I think it is also a very important milestone that every one of us should work towards it. If we will do recycle, let's recycle the right way so that the recycling industry will benefit, and also it creates a second life for the item that we recycle, or in other ways, it will be sayang. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, just to get people more interested, maybe there are some other examples you can walk us through. So you gave us the bubble tea cups, for example. Maybe you can name one or two other examples that are already in Trashpedia that, you know, would be helpful for people. Maybe they'll interest them to go and check it out even more.
Yeah, I think I can, because Sui is the expert, so I can come from a more normal person perspective. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So one of the biggest fact that I found out about recyclability of items is actually egg carton. Yeah, so we eat a lot of eggs. I think eggs is like a staple in our daily diet, but apparently the plastic egg carton is not recyclable. Yeah, meaning that all the plastic egg cartons, although it has all those like recycle sign, right?
Yeah.
Even it's recyclable, but the value is very low and nobody is really collecting it. So that's why it means that it's not recyclable. Yeah. And that's quite a big shock to me. Yeah. And also I found out like the expired medicine and also light bulb disposal, it needs a very proper disposal way. It's not recyclable, but we cannot just throw it into our rubbish bin because all this consists of very toxic chemicals and also metals that will leak into our landfill, which will be very bad for the whole soil and the environment situation. So we actually need to dispose them through like the proper bins and also some of the special outlets that who are collecting these expired medicine and also light bulb. Yeah, so these are quite shocking for me.
Yeah, I mean, the things we take for granted, isn't it? Like you think like, okay, it's a lamp. Yeah, what else am I going to do there? I'm going to throw it away. But, you know, when it ends up at the landfill also, there's some is broken glass that can, you know, hurt animals. The things that leak through into the ground. There's so many different things to it, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, all right. And any other example that you want to give from the Trashpedia? You know, something that people just take for granted, I suppose, that, you know, we're not actually, it's so ubiquitous, we use it every day, but we don't actually dispose of it properly.
I think another one is paper cup, coffee cup.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe Sui, you can explain that, right? Why it can't be recycled. Yeah.
Yeah, so for coffee paper cup or even for our fast food, the paper cup is actually not recyclable because it contains a layer of plastic. Yeah,
that's right.
And this also including the lid as well. So if we are aware, usually for coffee paper cup, the lid is actually the black, it's like brittle kind of plastic structures.
That's right.
So although it's actually made from, most of them is made from polystyrene, which is the plastic number 6. But in most of the collectors, they don't really collect it due to the structures and also not just about structures, but also the color itself. So for example, like usually for any kind of recyclable that is in a darker color, like for example, black color, it's not widely acceptable because they do require extra process to deal with if they wanted to bleach it or not. Yeah, so this is kind of like a complicated process. For coffee paper cup, yes, none of the component is recyclable except the sleeve.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So no matter what you think, like, oh, there's a little recyclable sign there, but no,
yeah.
I mean, especially if it's not, if you don't clean it properly, if you don't dry it properly, I mean, all these things need to be taken into consideration. So of course, the best solution is to bring your own cup. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Even for, I think now is in a trend that everybody wants this biodegradable bag. So people think that, oh, biodegradable means, you know, it has a second life or it will be biodegradable after that. But unfortunately, in Malaysia, we do not have such facility to really process these biodegradable bags. And even so, that person who disposed would also need to properly segregate it, which is another story as well. So in short, the term biodegradable doesn't make it more eco-friendly. So I think this is also something that consumer or even me myself before this will be very confused about. So when they say biodegradable, is it better for the environment? Yeah.
Okay. So it's really quite clever marketing in that sense, right? You think you're doing good, but actually you're not. It's the same thing. The best thing to do, of course, is to bring your own reusable
bag.
Yeah, bring your own reusable bags.
And to
keep using that. Okay, all right. I think I just wanted to refer to an article that I just read recently. You know, the Environmental Investigation Agency or the EIA, they just released a report that says there's, you know, so much evidence, right, of the harm from plastics, and they are arguing that plastic pollution is almost, I mean, the threat of it and the problems that it brings is equivalent to climate change. You know, they are pushing for a robust UN treaty to handle what they call is a global emergency. And they want, you know, countries to come up with binding sort of targets for reducing both plastic production and also waste. I think that's really important. You know, we always talk about, I guess, you know, when we talk about it, we're talking about our own use, but the production of the plastic itself is a huge conversation for another day, but that also needs to be taken into consideration. But so that's on the global level, but on the local level, we are also trying to do some things, right? I mean, our ministry is trying to take some steps. So maybe you can tell me a little bit about what you know that I think CASA is trying to work on a roadmap of sorts.
Yeah. If I think a few years back, we do have this single-use plastic roadmap very, very long time ago. Yeah, so since then, started 2 years ago, Zero Waste Malaysia was invited to attend like a stakeholder meeting with different stakeholders from the plastic manufacturer industry, from the FMCG, or even from different NGOs. So we do have multiple stakeholder meetings on building this. They call it Malaysia Plastic Sustainability Roadmap 2021 to 2030. So Ministry of Environment, our CASA, actually launched this roadmap last year. So the objective is to catalyzing the sustainability and circularity towards a new plastic economy. Okay. So on this roadmap particular, I think most people will be more interested about it's the implementations of EPR, which is the extended producer responsibility. So on this roadmap, it touched a little bit on this, whereby it's going to be voluntary. I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but yes, it's going to be voluntary, okay. But it's going to be compulsory by 2026.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So by 2026, everyone's or the businesses should actually take this as a compulsory. They have to take responsibility as their part of their business model. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And aside from this, I guess also some key highlights that have been pointed out on this roadmap is to actually establish a frameworks on the post-consumer HALA RPET standards by 2022. So this is something that that I believe it might be something that most of the local recyclers should actually take in consideration. So for example, to recycle, definitely you require like washing process, right?
Yeah.
So if let's say your recycled resin is actually made for, it's going to be into food applications or food packaging application, something that you need to consider might be the cleansing applications or washing applications that align with the HALA standards.
Mm.
So I guess that is not compulsory at the moment, but it's something that they should already consider, because this is actually under the roadmap to be aligned with, because we are still a multi-regional country, so we need to also jaga everyone on this case. Yeah, aside from this one, there is also a national targets on phasing out problematic single-use plastics.
Mm-hmm.
So on that roadmap particular, it's actually to identify at least 5 the problematic SUPs, and WWF Malaysia is appointed to identify that problematic SUPs. Yeah. And also quite a lot of different points that have been documented on the roadmap. Definitely, it will be another session. But it is worth to actually go through to see what to expect. And also, one thing that that is slightly positive is that in that roadmap, Zero Waste Malaysia was also mentioned in this roadmap to actually encourage more on the innovative way on the reuse and reuse model. So in that particular roadmap, we have a small 2 pages to elaborate more on our successful zero waste store that is in Malaysia, for example, like Liquid ETC, which is a refillable mobile refillery services that she drive her vans and then to refill at your home place. So we do cover a small portion on that. So hopefully we can get more and more businesses to aware that, instead of thinking of, we know that EPR is very important. We know that it's very important to take care of the waste that we produce. But what about thinking of innovative ways on implementing the reuse and refill model? So if let's say we have the reuse and refill model, this part is getting less a burden, because we are focusing more on how we can reduce the waste from the very first place, which is already quite a successful example that we can see at most of the package free shops or even businesses who support zero waste initiative.
Mm-hmm. And that is thriving, isn't it? I mean, okay, maybe thriving is not the word, but it's definitely growing, and we're seeing more and more of such shops opening up and more people are sort of adopting this. And I do know that Zero Waste, you also have a, I forget the word that you use, but you also have a guide of where people can go to actually locate these sorts of shops and things like that. Am I correct?
Yes. So Zero Waste Malaysia, we as we shared earlier, we are a resource platform. So we do have a zero waste map where people can find out how they can start living a zero waste lifestyle. So it could be about locating the recycling points nearest to your place, or even finding a package-free store, or even where to locate the repair, where to locate the location to repair your umbrella. So we do have this zero waste map, we call it, and it has more than 800 pins to date. So you can definitely check out more places on where you can really live your eco lifestyle, and also at the same time, learn more about what are in the market and hopefully inspire more businesses or even individuals to go zero waste or be part of the zero waste pin, so that this zero waste awareness can be spread across Malaysians. So this map, you can find it at our website. Just go to zerowastemalaysia.org. Yeah, then you will find out about the map.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I think that's really handy because, you know, we always want to make these changes, but like, oh, I don't know where to go. But everything has been mapped out, literally been mapped out. So there's really no excuse. So that's really wonderful. Okay, and we're just going to go for one more quick break before I get you guys to share more about Zero Waste Malaysia's plans for 2022. I'm speaking today to Kor Soo Yee. She's the co-founder and director of Zero Waste Malaysia. And Jazra Lim, she's the head of finance and business development. It's a new mini segment on Earth Matters today called Plastic Soup, where we discuss big and small ways to get out of the goop that is the plastic pollution crisis. We'll have more after this quick break. Stay tuned to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Today, it's a new segment called Plastic Soup, where we try to discuss ways to tackle and hopefully ultimately end the plastic pollution crisis. So today, I'm joined by Kor Soo Yee, who's the co-founder and director of Zero Waste Malaysia, and Jazra Lim, who's the head of finance and business development there. And before the break, both Jazra and Soo Yee were telling us about Zero Waste Malaysia's Trash Encyclopedia, or Trashpedia for short, where, you know, anyone can learn about common household trash items and how we can properly dispose of it. Just look it up on their website at zerowastemalaysia.org. Yeah, just another wonderful addition to their repository of information on how to be, or how to go zero waste as best as possible. But yes, guys, you know, 2022 just kicked off. What are some other programs or plans that you guys have in the pipeline that you can share with us?
Yeah, so maybe we can talk about some of the upgrades of Trashpedia. So in this coming April, we will have a full launch of the Trashpedia. So by then, we will be adding another 51 trash. Yay! More trash to learn about.
To sort, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And there will be 101 household trash in total that we'll be launching in April. And in conjunction with that, we will be having a first physical event for that. Yeah, so yay, stay tuned for that. Please block your, you know, your April weekends. Keep it free. We will have exciting activities coming out for this Trash Encyclopedia. And also being inclusive as always, we will have another multilingual interface update for Trashpedia, which will include Mandarin, Bahasa Malaysia, Tamil on top of the current English version in coming October. Yep, so this is like the extension and upgrade for Trashpedia. So the second in pipelines is actually our long-awaited third Zero Waste Festival.
Yay.
Yeah. So some of you might know us through the festival that we have had in the past year. So because of COVID, we didn't really have any physical engagement activities with the community. But this year, definitely it is happening. And we are targeting this festival to happen around September. Yep. So after the festival, when you get hype, what's next? So it will be followed by the 30-day zero waste challenge. So that's where we feel that it's very important for us to continue the momentum and also build up this small little zero waste habit that will make a difference. So following by the zero waste festival, we will definitely have our once a year again, the 30-day zero waste challenge that, you know, everybody can look forward to, and also be prepared to, you know, have more exciting activities by just going zero waste. Yep.
Okay, excellent. And I do want to ask also, I know you work with corporates and you guys are also open to, let's say, communities, you know, who maybe want to try and implement it in their neighborhoods or maybe schools and educational centers, you know, who would like for you guys to come and, you know, sort of talk about the zero waste movement and zero waste lifestyle. You guys are open to that as well. Am I correct?
Yes, we in fact, we do have a group of speakers team that we engage with corporates who is interested to host speaking sessions or even educational institutions. Okay. Yeah, so just a side note, like for because right now we feel that most of the educational institutions, especially the local government schools, they are more or less quite focusing on the academic side. Yeah, because it's been a while, yeah. And I guess everyone back to school, so they are all rushing out on this how to catch up with all these academic. But more or less, if let's say there is any local government primary or secondary school who is interested to host a speaking sessions, Zero Waste Malaysia is here to support this complimentary Zero Waste talk to all the local government schools.
Okay, excellent. That's great to hear. I think we really need to get them young and yeah, we need to start as young as possible, right, to get people on this movement. So that's wonderful, guys. So lots of plans and of course, we'll be keeping in touch throughout the year to find out what you guys are up to. Just before I let you guys go, you know, Chinese New Year is around the corner and another wonderful resource that you guys have on Zero Waste Malaysia is a video series which I came across. And Sui, I know you hosted and this was probably from a while ago. It was Jom Zero Waste episode 11, the part of the video series, How to Have a Low Waste Chinese New Year, am I correct?
yeah. The one that I act like a auntie.
Yes, so. That's the one. Auntie Sue.
Yeah.
Maybe some quick tips, you know, on how, as we are preparing for Chinese New Year and heading into the festive season, what are some sort of tips you would like to give just before we conclude?
Yeah, sure. So I guess for every kind of occasion, it's for me, I'm being more mindful is that what will be the potential trash that I might be actually producing during the festive seasons. Mm-hmm. So for Chinese New Year, definitely we are going to host like our guests to our home, but definitely with the SOP considerations. Yeah, so whenever we host our friends or host our family members, I guess... the most common trash that we might be producing is actually the drinks. Yeah. So, for example, for the drinks, are we able to DIY? If not, let's say you are lazy like me, not so lazy, but too busy. Yeah. So perhaps you can choose some products or drinks that come in an easily recycled packaging, for example, like aluminium tin. Yeah. So try not to be overwhelming or try not to be too pressure about the trash that you might produce. Definitely there will be a way when you are looking for a way. Yeah, so instead of, if let's say you are not able to DIY your drinks, you can choose the one that is come in the aluminium tin packaging that is easily recyclable. Yeah, so if let's say we are going to distribute ang pao, I guess the red packets. So if let's say, perhaps it's also sometimes for us to consider if there is any leftover ang pao that you can actually reuse. Instead of buying a new one, perhaps it's time to actually reuse some of the red packets. Because I also heard that this year there is no new notes as well. Because my mom actually went to a bank and then she asked if there is any new notes for this year. No, there is none. So people are reusing notes. Why not we reusing our red packet as well?
Okay.
It's interesting.
It's a reuse culture. Yeah. So it's a good thing to know. Yeah. So and also one thing, I guess, but this is a perks for those who live within Klang Valley, is that there is actually a cloth swap coming soon in this coming weekends, hosted by Melissa Tan and also a Plant Swag Group. So it's an activities that encourage people to swap new baju or even swap plants. So for this Chinese New Year, a lot of people might be worrying about new clothes. So why not participate a cloth swap? Because at the same time, you are able to get your new clothes instead of having your extra money to pay to whatever fashion industry.
Yeah.
So to actually back to the reuse culture and recirculating the belongings that we have. At the same time, we're still able to satisfy our craving as well.
Yeah. And where is this happening, Suyi?
Because it's not organized by us, but organized by very amazing group. If I'm not mistaken, it's around PJ area.
Okay, all right, no worries. I mean, I would
definitely check out Plant Swag group or even the Instagram accounts of Lady of Leisure Malaysia. So they had this swap event in this weekend. Yeah.
Okay.
And
all right.
And if I'm not mistaken, there are also a couple of thrifting events coming soon. It's hosted by the Swap Projects. Yeah.
Okay.
But
all right.
Anyway, regardless of any kind of swapping events, we also can also go over Zero Waste Malaysia map to look over, is there any potential secondhand shops or thrift shops around our area to explore? Because for me, even what I'm wearing right now with this bright red t-shirt is actually from the secondhand shops that I went recently.
I'm with you on that. There is no thrill greater to me than finding something good at the thrift shop. I love thrift shopping. And you find some really wonderful things there.
It's like treasure hunt.
It's like a treasure hunt. Yes.
And people wouldn't know whether, you know, you buy it firsthand or secondhand and all that. And you just need to properly watch it and sanitize it, just put under the sun and all that. So everything will look as good as it's new. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's not make fashion our guilty as well.
I mean, we can just do it at the thrift shop, right?
Yeah.
Even I can find a really affordable kind of high brand that is very aligned with what I need. It's actually a Patagonia organic cotton pants at the thrift shops that I actually found. So it's like, oh my God, it's like a treasure hunt. And I feel very, I kind of very contented because I found something that it's on my wish list.
Yeah.
So the sense of achievement is very different.
Yeah.
I think I can add on to the post swap that Sui mentioned earlier is happening on this Saturday. So there are three sessions, 10 a.m., 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. at Damansara Dev in Business, DIB Cafe. So if everyone want to check out more information, can check out the Plant Swag group. And also because of SOP, is limited capacity. Okay. Yeah, but worry not, you have a lot of thrift shop and amazing clothings at other places that you could always treasure hunt around. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you. You know, always, you know, practical advice and simple things that we all can start doing today to kickstart our sort of zero waste journey. And again, of course, you know, if anyone's interested, the website is zerowastemalaysia.org. And you guys are, of course, very active on social media. You've got Facebook, you've got Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. You guys are very active there. There's lots of ways to engage with you guys and find out more. So thank you again to both of you. I've been speaking to Koh Soo Yee and Jazrael Lim. Suyi is the co-founder and director of Zero Waste Malaysia, and Jazrael is the head of finance and business development. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast at bfm.my/earth, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.